You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Well, good morning. Are you guys happy to be here this morning? Some of you need to let your face know. I was sitting up here, you know, watching, and it's kind of like, Now, see, Tammy, we were talking about, we had all this work done this this weekend, and we were talking about, we did some painting in the kitchen area, and we're working on getting some colors together, and I said, you know, let's just get enough paint, we're going to just, let's just do all of it, and Tammy said, well, there's something about blue that's supposed to be soothing and calming and cooling. I was like, we don't need to be any more calm some mornings. I'm in here on Sundays. It's, we need red or something, some bright orange or something to get you guys fired up about something. I know it's cold outside, so everybody's a little, okay, a little tired. Hey, I tend to be, I love movies. If you come over, if you guys have ever come to our house, we have like a bookshelf of movies, and I tend to be, this is my own description, a little bit bipolar about movies, in the sense of Michelle doesn't like it a lot of times when I pick movies, because I either pick like the four-hour epic, like, you know, I like Lord of the Rings and the Braveheart or the, you know, Gandhi or something like that, you know, like the really intense, long, you know, I'll pick Schindler's List or something. She's like, oh gosh, this is rough, you know. So I'll pick like the really heavy drama or like the really stupid comedy, you know. Like I love Monty Python, you know. I love like the really early Mike Myers movies and Adam Sandler movies, like the early ones. Some of the later ones kind of got, they're shadier. But I really like the early ones. So I tend to either pick kind of from those extremes. And Michelle's like, where's just like the fun romantic comedy, you know? Why can't we just watch 27 Dresses? Come on. Or whatever, you know. That was just the first one that popped in my head. No rhyme or reason for that. The same is true about books for me. Those of you who've been in my office know that I kind of have a little bit of an addiction there to books. And so most of the time, I'm always reading something, it seems like, and most of the time, it's like really serious, you know, theology stuff, deep pastoral stuff. And other times, that stuff just gets heavy after a while, so you have to pick something else up. So I've been reading this book lately. This book is a book called, a novel by a guy named Christopher Moore. Anybody heard of Christopher Moore? Okay, the book is called Lamb, and the subtitle is The Gospel of Christ According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Friend. And it's a fictional story about this guy named Biff. And so the premise is this. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus has died, and Jesus is not real happy about the way his story has been told. There's been a lot that's been left out. So God resurrects Biff, his childhood friend. Thank you, Karen. Somebody thinks that's funny. Like, that's really supposed to be funny, you know? So he resurrects Biff, and so the angel tells him, says, look, you know, God has raised you up so that you can tell the whole story, all the stuff that got left out. So they do what you would expect them to do. He takes him to a hotel in St. Louis and locks him in a hotel room, because, you know, that's the first thing you would think would probably happen. And says, you have to stay here in this hotel room until you finish the story. And all the while, the angel starts watching television, and he gets addicted to American television and starts getting addicted to soap operas and wrestling and all of that kind of, you know, fun stuff that, of course, angels would get into. Daniel's giving me the look. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just got to go with it. You just got to go with it. So let me just say, all in all, this is not a book that I'm saying go out and buy this book, because there's some sketchy stuff in it, but there was a passage in here that was particularly appropriate to where we are with our study of the Beatitudes. So I'm going to read to you a short passage, censored passage, from Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. Josh says, now this is Jesus, Yeshua, known as Josh. Josh says, how are we doing on the Beatitudes? Pardon me? The Blesseds. Oh, well, we've got, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the pure in heart, the whiners, the meek, Wait, what are we giving the meek? Let's see here. Blessed are the meek, for to them we shall say, attaboy. Yeah, a little weak. little weak. Yeah, let's let the meek inherit the earth. Well, can't you give the earth to the whiners? Well, then cut the whiners and give the earth to the meek. Okay, earth to the meek. Here we go. Blessed are the peacemakers, the mourners, and that's it. How many is that? Seven. Not enough. We need one more. How about the dimwits? No, Josh, we can't. Not the dimwits. You've done enough for the dimwits. We've got Nathaniel. We've got Thomas. We've got... Okay. Blessed are the dimwits, for they, I don't know, shall not be disappointed. No, Josh, I'm drawing the line at the dimwits. Come on, why can't we have any powerful guys on our team? Why do we have to have the meek and the poor and the oppressed and the peons? Why can't we for once have blessed are the big, powerful, rich guys with swords? Because they don't need us. Okay, but no blessed are the dimwits. I've got it. Here it is. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay, better. What are you going to give them? A fruit basket. You can't give the meek the whole earth and give these guys a fruit basket. Well, give them the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit got that. But everybody gets some. Okay, then share the kingdom of heaven. I wrote it down. You could give the fruit basket to the dimwits. No, we are not blessing the dimwits. Sorry, I just feel for them. You feel for everybody, Josh. It's your job. Oh, yeah, I forgot. So anyway, good passage. Funny story. It is funny reading, but again, I'm giving you fair warning. I'm not recommending you go buy it necessarily. You can borrow my copy where I X out all the profanity and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. So we've been looking at the Beatitudes over the last, started a couple weeks ago, and it's the beginning of the teaching we know as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn there. And we said a couple weeks ago that in Matthew chapter 5, in this Sermon on the Mount, in these Beatitudes, that Jesus is announcing a new kingdom. He's announcing his kingdom that has come here on earth. And he's saying, essentially, he starts out by announcing this kingdom by saying God is on the side of the spiritual nobodies. The spiritual nobodies, the poor in spirit. We said a couple weeks ago, we paraphrased it this way. Blessed are the spiritual zeros, the spiritually bankrupt, the deprived, the deficient, the spiritual beggars, those who don't have any religion at all. That's how we started out. And then after that, the second one there in verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn. Saying God is blessing and is with those who are mourning. And not just because one day in heaven it's going to be better, but because God comes down and is present with us in our sadness, in our grief, that God is walking with us through that. And so this week we come to verse 5 of Matthew chapter 5. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I wonder this morning, when you hear the word meek, what pops in your mind? First thing that pops in there, just spit it out.
Quiet.
Huh? Quiet. Passive. Humble. Weak. All right.
Doormat.
Okay. Good. Anything else? Anything else pops in your head when you hear meek? Well, if we're going to understand what Jesus is saying here, we should probably define our terms, right? We should probably say, okay, what exactly is going on here? If you look up the word meek in the dictionary, there's a number of definitions. Here's a few of them. Someone who's meek is someone showing patience and humility or gentle. Okay? Someone who's easily imposed upon or submissive. Someone who is spineless or spiritless. Someone who is deficient in spirit and courage. Just a few things, just the dictionary definitions. Is that kind of what you have in mind, more or less, when you hear that word? Fair, pretty fair. At least one of those definitions kind of fits, right? Or, as Michelle said, the human doormat, right? We know about that one. But is that exactly what Jesus is talking about here is the question. Could be, but what is he saying here when he says, blessed are the meek? Some translators have said, you know, we don't exactly, in our language today, in the use of the word meek, we don't exactly have the same kind of idea, and it loses a little bit of what Jesus was saying. So they've translated it this way, at least a couple other ones. Blessed are the little people. Blessed are the powerless. Blessed are the oppressed. Now we hear that, and if we think about it, that goes completely counter and completely against what we know to be true in our culture today, right? Because we know that those are not the people that get ahead in the world. Those are not the people that make it. Because those people, who gets ahead? It's the athletic. It's the talented. It's the beautiful. It's the strong. It's the powerful. It's the assertive people. You know, the go-getters of the world that get ahead. Survival of the fittest, right? Isn't that what capitalism is about, right? You go out and you do your business and you do it well and you work hard at it and you get ahead. And that's how things work. In school, we teach children from a very early age. Our school systems, unfortunately, are set up for kids to be competitive with each other from the very beginning, to be competitive and comparing yourself to another and how well you've done on a test or how well you've done. And we begin to kids begin to get this idea that their worth is based on a couple of letters on a piece of paper, right? That's how it works. And we tell kids all the time, we say, you can be anything you want to be. If you just, you know, be assertive, work hard at it. Pull yourselves out, you know, go to school, work hard, do this. You can do whatever you want to do. And so it's that underlying idea that the people that get ahead are the people that work hard, the people that strive. And thank you very much. The stinking heater turned on. Okay. Now, in our society, too, there tends to be kind of a looking down upon those people that basically just inherit all their wealth and don't do anything, right? We call them, what, the trust fund babies, right? You've heard that term, the trust fund baby. Now, I'm not going to name them because we know we all have our favorite trust fund baby that we love to hate, you know, because they're on tabloids and they're doing all, and you're going, what has that person ever done in their life, you know? Nothing, you know? And we look down upon that. And we make fun of that. And there's another example of this. Many of you know the billionaire investor Warren Buffett, right? Now, a few years ago, he made the statement. This guy at one point was worth $62 billion at one point in his life. And he said, I'm not leaving it to my kids. He said, I'm going to give it all away. He said, I want them to have the joy of earning their own first $1 million. And I'm not going to give it to them. And so the idea is that, you know, there's a pleasure, there's joy, and there's value in succeeding, in being assertive, in pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, not taking your parents' hand-me-downs, you know, necessarily. I'm not saying that's all bad. I'm saying that's necessarily kind of how some people, the mentality is. So with that kind of idea, we come to this passage of Jesus who says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So how do we deal with these sayings? And not just the meek, though. I mean, it's backing up before that, because, I mean, we sometimes take these Beatitudes of Jesus, and we like to baptize them in American culture. And so what we end up with is something that sounds something sort of like this. Do you want to have the kingdom of heaven? Well, be poor in spirit. Do you want to be comforted? Well, mourn. Do you want to inherit the earth? Well, be meek. You know, do you see how we're twisting that backwards a little bit? We set them up as though these are something that we need to, like, try to ascribe to or try to achieve, you know, and I want to say, really, you know, really, can you picture that? We should strive to be meek. We should work really hard and assert ourselves to be as meek as possible. You getting that? Maybe one day, if we've gotten far enough, we might graduate from meek to humble. And if we work really hard, we might get from humble to modest. I mean, can you imagine, like, going into somebody's like house or their office, and like framed on the wall says "Certificate of Achievement, Most Humble." You know, it's like, what? Yeah, there we go. See, because I think that's where we get some of these Beatitudes when we approach them. We get them a little bit wrong. But see, I want to say that I understand the idea of the prosperity gospel. I understand the idea that says, if I just follow Jesus, if I just do everything Jesus says, I will be blessed. I will be healed from all my sickness. God will give me riches. And, you know, I'm going to prosper because God has promised me abundant life. I get that idea because that makes sense to me. But that's not what Jesus is doing. He's not saying, if you can just do these things, then you're going to, you know, you're going to be blessed by me. He says, no. Meekness is not something that you strive for. It's the exact opposite. It's pure gospel, pure good news to the little people that we said, the powerless people, the oppressed people. To them, Jesus says, even in your littleness and powerlessness, you will inherit the land. You will inherit the land. But what does that mean? What does that mean? You will inherit the earth or inherit the land. What does that mean? Listen to this quote from Frederick Dale Bruner. He says, he's talking about the whole Beatitudes. He says, first to the dependent poor, then to the grief-stricken, now to the unaggressive, Jesus gives everything. God's kingdom, God's comfort, and now God's green earth. Yet everyone else knows that it's the physically and spiritually self-confident, the positive and possibility thinkers, the dynamically assertive who really get things and who get things done on earth. The meek may inherit heaven. Both the entrepreneur and the revolutionary will give the meek heaven, but not earth. Not earth. So what does it mean that they will inherit the earth? I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a minute to explain this, because I think it's worthwhile. And I need a couple volunteers. Could I have a couple people say I'd be willing to stand up here? And you don't have to do anything. You just have to stand up here and hold something. Thank Rebecca. I'm not going to tie you up. Thanks for clarifying that for everybody, because that's what we were all thinking. All right, Rebecca, I need one more. All right. Hold that one down low. All right. I should have, like, unraveled this point. Come on over here, Linda. Well, you don't have to squat down. I don't want you, like, back get tired. I might get long-winded here in a minute. All right. So we're going to go this way. And you can hold this end. Whoop, sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. If you can pull that tight. If you can imagine that this line... No, don't squat down. You'll stand up because you're going to get a second one in a minute. If you can imagine that this first line here is earth, is the earth. And then hold that one up high. There we go. See, this is how this was supposed to work. Why didn't somebody tell me how these things work? All right. And hold that one up high for me. Well, sorry, I got the wrong. Just making sure you're paying attention. I figured that out now. So see, this is how many of us kind of view the way the world is that God has created the green, this earth, that exists, and then there's this other thing called heaven, which is separate from earth, and eventually one day we're going to get to the end of the green one, and it will stop, and the yellow one will just go on forever, right? That's kind of how we understand it. And it's, you know, we live now here, and then one day we're going to kind of jump up to here. But, you know, that's not exactly how the Bible talks about it. It really doesn't talk about it that way. When you read the prophets of the Old Testament, when you read Isaiah, when you read the prophet Amos, when you start reading about when the day of the Lord, that's what it talks about, the day of the Lord, saying the day when God sets all things right, when God comes and puts things the way they're supposed to be, it's not that everything down here jumps up here. It's the other way around. Because in the day of the Lord, it says that God comes down to earth and God is present on the mountain, is what it says. That Jerusalem will be the holy mountain and all people will stream to the mountain. That's what it talks about in Isaiah. Now, in Revelation, we get this other picture. And I need one more volunteer. Thanks, Karen. Yeah. Do double dutch? I'm just kidding. No. Come through. All right. Here's what I need you to do. Hold this right here. Now let go of yours for a second, Linda. Let go of yours for a second. Yeah, you can let go of both of them. Yeah. Here is what the book of Revelation does with this whole story. See, the book of Revelation talks about in chapter 21, not a day when all of God's people will necessarily be taken up and get out of this place. The book of Revelation talks about that a new heaven and a new earth will come down, where heaven and earth become intertwined together. It talks about this new Jerusalem as this wonderful city, this city of gold. And you know what it says about this new Jerusalem? It says there's no temple in the new Jerusalem. You know why? Because God doesn't need a house, because God dwells with God's people. There will be no more tears and no more suffering and no more pain. Everything will be set right, not as two separate things, but as one intertwined reality, that God comes down in this new earth, this new heaven, and everything is mixed up together. God is present with God's people. God is setting everything right. It's everything as it was supposed to be. All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. You can just drop it. We'll leave it there. We'll give them a hand. Thank you very much. But this idea that in the end, that all of this stuff gets intertwined. And when God says, or when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's not talking about the green string on the bottom. He's talking about all of the intertwined part at the end, that all of that is yours, that is all present to you in eternity. And that's why I talk about, if you hear me say this, you've heard it in the past, that I say eternity doesn't start when you get to heaven. Eternity starts now. And that's what this is talking about. That green string, you notice, it kept going. There are things that we do today, there are things that go on in our life that have eternal value, that have eternal consequences, that go on and reverberate all throughout the rest of time. So when Jesus Christ saves us, when he announces this kingdom, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. He's saying the inheritance starts now, because there are things that you've been invited into that if you invest your life in, that will go on for eternity. That will go on for eternity. So when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, he's essentially saying, blessed are the people who can't seem to get ahead in this world. Those who can just barely manage to tread water. Blessed are those who can't get it together, who can't keep up with the Joneses, who have been passed by over and over. Blessed are those who are ignored, the ones who are unnoticed and kind of sit at the edges, the shy wallflowers, the people that don't assert themselves and lack the confidence to stand up for themselves and who don't measure up and who are hopelessly average in the world's eyes. Because in God's world, there's plenty of room for you. There's plenty of room for you. And because great is your inheritance, you shall inherit the earth. But think about that for a second. You shall inherit the earth. You can't earn an inheritance. You can't earn an inheritance. You don't do anything to get it, right? Except to be born to the person who gives it to you. You can't necessarily assert yourself and work harder and dig in more and try to get ahead in this world that God is bringing about. You can't do that, is what he said. You can't dig in and work. All you can do is come to God and receive it. Receive it. All you do is come to God and say, I got nothing, Lord. I'm the average. I'm the one who can't get my stuff together. My life is so mixed up. And God says, look, I have this inheritance for you that I have been planning as my child here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So the question is this, are you here this morning and you feel like you just can't get caught up? Do you feel like you're always on the short end of the stick? Do you feel like you're always like a day late and a dollar short? Like everyone else seems to be swimming like fish and you're just treading water and like nobody really even notices that you're there sometimes? Do you feel like that you could just die today and no one would really miss you? No one would really pay attention. I mean, do you look around at all your friends and you see like their shiny, clean houses? You see their brand new cars, their clean, well-pressed clothes. I mean, do you go to the grocery store and do you see other moms that like they're walking around with their baskets full of organic food and their kids are perfectly behaved and their kids are just little angels and you're like dragging a screaming kid through the store and you're trying to bribe them with junk food and just let me get through with the shopping and we'll run through the drive-thru on the way home because I don't have time to cook tonight. You know what I'm talking about? You go to work some days and you're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. You know that the pink slip's going to find its way into your box. Or you know that something's going to happen. And you're not sure, maybe I'll have a job tomorrow, maybe I won't. And everyone else just seems to be getting along better than I can. And they're getting a raise and they're getting a promotion and, you know, better pay and more security and better benefits. And I can't get caught up. That's you today. This is the gospel announcement for you. God's favor, God's blessing is available to you. God's salvation is available to you. We can't earn it. God's blessing was never handed out on merit. Think about that for a minute. God's blessing was never handed out to those people that deserved it. Never. Instead, if we feel like we have earned God's love, or we feel like we're trying to do God a favor by serving Him and doing the right thing, that's when we're farthest away from Him. No, because God says, blessed are the losers and the ones who've messed up. Blessed are those people that keep falling over and over and over again, and they just can't seem to shake that sin that seems got such a tight hold on their life. Because it's at this point, when we get to the very end of our rope, when we get to the end of striving and trying everything that we've done, we find ourselves looking up at the rest of the world. It's the place where step one from the 12 steps comes in, and we say, we admit we're powerless over our addiction. We admit we're powerless over our sin. We admit we're powerless over our situation. We admit that there's nothing else that we can do. And we stop trying harder. We stop striving more. And we find Jesus there saying, blessed are the little ones. Blessed are the powerless. Blessed are the oppressed. Blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your announcement to us, your gospel that says that when we have found ourselves at the very end of our own rope, you're there. You're not there just to catch us when we're falling. You're not just there to scoop up the broken pieces. You're not just there to pat us on the shoulder and tell us that it's going to be all right. You're there to pour out your blessings upon us when we've got nothing left, when we didn't deserve it, when we've got no good left in us, when we're all tried out, we're all worked out, and we're helpless. You're there to bless us and to give us an inheritance that we didn't earn. To give us an inheritance we don't deserve. To give us an inheritance that only you can. That you have made your kingdom and your world and your new heaven and your new earth available to us. That you have redeemed them through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have adopted us into your family. And you've made us sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that all we can do is come to you empty-handed and receive what it is that you have for us. Lord, we pray this morning that if we're caught up in that game of trying to work our way to your favor, help us to stop. Help us to realize how foolish that is. If we think we're doing you a favor by serving you, Lord, or doing you a favor by showing up here on Sunday morning, or doing you a favor by praying and offering our praise. Remind us, Lord, we've got nothing. The prophet Jeremiah has told us, Lord, that our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So, Lord, we come to you empty-handed, but we come to you who holds all of the world in his hands and ask you to pour out your blessing on us, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, I pray for those that are here tonight that are here this morning, Lord, that find themselves in that place of feeling hopelessly average, feeling like they're treading water, feeling like they're just barely getting by. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to feel your presence surrounding them, that they would feel your blessings being poured into their life, Lord, would realize that this gospel, this kingdom, this announcement is for them. Let them reach out and take hold and leave here with the hope that you alone can offer. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in this place, and we ask that you would give us the courage to respond to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.